Let's go to our God now together in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, it is good when night is full of thy faithfulness to tell. And as the night falls and darkness comes in upon us, we tell thy faithfulness. As we gather together with the songs of Zion upon our lips and in our hearts, as we come, therefore, as prophets and priests and kings, anointed by the Spirit of the Christ, to speak together in song and to confess together from thy word the truth, our souls from sin and death, and to confess together our Savior Jesus Christ, upon whom we are set, and upon whom our feet are set, as the rock of our salvation, and to confess thee and thy glory, who art God alone, and there is none like unto thee in heaven above or earth beneath. We come before thee in this evening, Father, confessing even a of physical blindness, such as this, and a night such as the last, to be blind, the deep dark of the night sky, aglow with the stars, twinkling in the crisp and even bitterly cold night air. To miss the sun in his power and strength, what would it be to be blind physically, and yet that is our condition spiritually? And what wretchedness to be blind and to miss the sight of the Savior, the Son of righteousness, and the sight of all of thy glory displayed in him, brilliant in him. Throughout the earth and throughout thy church, unable to see our way, so that every step is death and peril, every step is destruction and falling and being broken. And that is who we are, Father. We confess before thee, blind and in darkness by nature. And this evening, as night falls, we tell of thy faithfulness in coming to us in thy mercy and opening our eyes through Jesus Christ and his Spirit, of uniting us to our Savior, who while he walked on the earth, by even the clay moistened with his spittle, he could restore sight. And now we, by the Spirit of our Lord, being united to him, have much more than that earthly by thy grace of sight. We see the kingdom. We see its glories. Glories that are so tremendous and exalted that an eternity in heaven, praising thee for them, will not exhaust thy glory and thy praise. Thou dost cause us to see the salvation that we have in our Lord. Thou dost cause us to see the inheritance that awaits. Thou dost cause us to see thy church, thy people, so that when we behold one another's face, it is not merely the face of a neighbor that we see, but a brother or a sister in Christ. Thou dost cause us to see the gathering of thy church. Thou dost work in our hearts by grace to bring us to thyself in the congregation of thy people. Thou dost cause us to see the defending and preserving of thy church against even the gates of hell, which cannot prevail against her. And thou dost cause the blessed sight, our Savior himself. We see him. We see him. And he is to us most beautiful, most glorious. We see his face. His face, the contours of which are revealed in the Scriptures. The face that is not turned towards us in wrath and anger, as that face is contorted against all of the reprobate ungodly. That face that looks upon them with eyes that burn as a lamp of fire. That face that looks upon them that he might aim the blow of his rod of iron upon them. But that face towards us beams with light, beams with love and compassion, so that even though every face of man might be turned towards us unfeelingly, without understanding, without comprehending, the face of our Lord is turned towards us with pity and compassion. We see his face as it was marred by the crown of thorns, and as his life's blood ran down his face from the wounds upon his brow. And that too is his face of love that we behold, a face and a heart that loved us even unto death, loved us even unto the end. And now a face that radiates with glory and power and authority, a regal face, the face of a king, indeed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The face that looks unto thee, thy counsel, and executes all things according to it, that all things, as thou hast decreed, may work the salvation of thy church and the good of thy people and the glory of thy holy name. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast made us blind, poor sinners to see, that thou hast made us to see the face of our Lord and therefore thy face in the gospel. We pray that thou wilt preserve that gospel among us, cause that it might go forth with power Lord's Day by Lord's Day. We pray, Father, that as a congregation we may witness to the truth of thy word, to the sound doctrine of the Reformed faith, to the blessed gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt use that gospel as it goes forth to continue to gather, defend, and preserve thy church. We pray, Father, that as we see these things unfold, that we may be humble before thee and thankful, and may give our entire life as a sacrifice of praise unto thee. We pray that thou wilt bless the cause of thy truth as it goes forth in various forms for the technology by which thy word may go forth and that our own congregation may use in the sending forth of that word. We pray, Father, that thou wilt continue to be with those who labor to build a website and populate it with sound, reformed instruction, which may be seen and viewed the world over. We pray that thou wilt bless also the use of the printed page, printed both physically and electronically. Wilt thou bless the means of writing and publishing in Sword and Shield. Bless the means of writing and publishing in the blog posts that are instructive and beneficial. And Father, we pray that thou wilt continue to give us these opportunities to sound forth thy truth. We pray that thou wilt use these things for the glory of thy name and the gathering and strengthening and encouraging of thy people. We pray that thou wilt be with us, open thy word and meditate upon a portion of it. Wilt thou open our eyes to see our Savior, who is thy covenant with thy people. Seeing him, we may love him. And indeed, Father, we are overwhelmed with thy mercy. Overwhelmed with thy grace and condescension to us. We depend upon thee, for thou art our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Forgive all our sins. We hate them. We are sorry for them, for thou hast shown us thine own view of sin, that it is abomination unto thee, it is gross to thee, hateful. We are sorry for our iniquities and for our corruption and depravity that cleaves to us. Forgive us, be merciful to us, and blot out our sins in Jesus' blood, and turn us in true repentance and godly sorrow for our sin. And by thy Spirit, so work in our hearts that we may more and more hate our sin and more love Thee and cleave to Thee. Hear our prayer, Father. We thank Thee even for this gift of prayer. Wilt Thou receive our praise and answer us in Thy mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Tonight to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. We'll read the first 16 verses of Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, to my uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Thus far we read God's word. Tonight we continue our series of brief speeches at these prayer meetings on the topic of the doctrine of covenant fellowship. In our first meditation on this topic, we looked at an introduction to the topic as a whole. Last time we met, we looked at the truth of God's covenant fellowship within himself as the triune God, and we saw that the doctrine of covenant fellowship must begin with Jehovah God himself. And the fact that Jehovah's covenant fellowship with himself is unconditional also must govern the covenant that he establishes with his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we continue that series by seeing that Jehovah God brings us into his own covenant fellowship with himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Christ and through Christ alone that we as God's people have covenant fellowship with him. And when we come to this truth of Jesus Christ as the way of our covenant fellowship with God, we come to the crown jewel of all of the doctrine of our covenant fellowship with God. The crown jewel of that doctrine is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ as the head of the covenant, as the mediator of the covenant, and as the covenant of the people himself. God himself calls our attention to Jesus Christ as something glorious and as something wonderful to behold in this covenant. This is the way God begins Isaiah 42, "Behold my servant, behold my servant." God comes to his church and says, "Look, behold my people, behold my servant, Jesus Christ, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." It is the delight of the Christian church to behold the Lord Jesus Christ and to see that our covenant fellowship with God is through him, and that through him we are taken right into the covenant fellowship of the triune God himself. We're going to take several meetings, the Lord willing, to develop this truth of Jesus Christ as our entrance into the covenant and as God's covenant with us. Just a brief outline of what we can expect over the next few weeks, the Lord willing. We're going to deal with Jesus Christ as the head of the covenant in the next two prayer meetings. And then in the two prayer meetings following that, we'll deal with Jesus Christ as the mediator of the covenant. By seeing Jesus Christ as the head of the covenant and as the mediator of the covenant, we see how Jesus Christ is the covenant of God with his people. This evening, we introduce that whole idea of Jesus Christ as the covenant of God with his people by seeing that not only the work of Jesus Christ as head and mediator is how Jesus Christ relates to the covenant, but we see that Jesus Christ is himself the covenant of God with his people. Jesus is the covenant. Jesus is the of Jehovah God with his elect people. Jehovah himself says so in verse 6 of Isaiah 42. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." I will give thee for a covenant of the people. And when God says, "I will give thee for a covenant," he does not mean exclusively, "I will give thee to work on behalf of my covenant and to bring my people into covenant fellowship with me." But God is saying that Jesus himself is the covenant of God with us. That means then that God's covenant with you is Jesus Christ. His covenant with you is Jesus Christ. And that means then that all of your fellowship and my fellowship with God in this covenant is exclusively in Jesus Christ and is not at all outside of him. Is the covenant of the people, and God's fellowship with you is Jesus Christ. How are we going to understand this? The truth, the doctrine that the Word of God is teaching here is the doctrine of Jesus' incarnation. That is how Jesus is the covenant that God gave of the people. The truth of the incarnation. The doctrine of the incarnation is this, that the second person of the Trinity, who is the eternal Word, who is the eternal wisdom of God, that second person of the Trinity, came in our flesh and became man. that second person of the Trinity took to himself human nature of the Virgin Mary and united that human nature to himself, so that now the Lord Jesus Christ is incarnate and come in our flesh. This is taught in John 1, for example. The Word became flesh. The eternal Word of God became flesh. The second person of the Trinity became flesh. The truth of the incarnation is not that that second person of the Trinity transformed into something else. The second person of the Trinity, who is the Son and the eternal Word, remains God. He remains the eternal Son of God, and he remains the eternal Word of God. That second person of the Trinity, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took to himself also the human nature of man, so that he is now God and man. He is very God, truly God, really God, and he is very man, truly man, really man. We can use some more language to describe this doctrine. We can use the language of natures. Jesus Christ has two natures. He has a human nature and he has a divine nature. And these two natures in his one person. He remains the person of the Son of God. That one person of the Son of God, not two persons, but that one person of the Son of God has now two natures, the human nature and the divine. Jesus was incarnate not by the mixing of those natures. Jesus did not combine the human and the divine so that they mixed all through each other, and now there's some third nature that was the product of that incarnation. Not at all. Jesus is God, unmixed with man, and he is man, unmixed with God, but those two natures rather are united so that they are not separated in his divine person. This is mystery. This is deep truth and deep waters of truth. And this shows us how weak we are, that our Savior, who is our brother, and who is of the seed of Abraham, and who was made flesh like we are our flesh, that even him who is our brother, we cannot fully comprehend. We cannot plumb the depths of his infinite majesty as revealed in his incarnation. But though we cannot comprehend it, because it is deep, we do understand it and believe it. For this is the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This truth of the incarnation, that God gave Jesus to be the covenant of the people. By the incarnation, Jehovah God united God and man. Through the incarnation, God is with man. God is with man in such a way that man is united to God. And that truth of the union of God and man in Jesus Christ is expressed in his name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And that's the covenant. God with us. Ship of the covenant. God with us. The Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth, who spread those heavens as a curtain, laid the foundations of the earth, that God is with us. And that God with us is Emmanuel. and is Jesus Christ. You see how it is that God gave Jesus as the covenant of the people, as His covenant with you, and as His covenant with me. Jesus is God with us, and through Jesus, and Jesus Christ alone, God is with you and with me in covenant fellowship. This truth of Jesus as the covenant of God implies our own helplessness and our own weakness, and the grace of God, therefore, in this covenant fellowship. Isaiah reveals what you are and what I am when God gave Jesus to be the covenant of the people. Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, he says to Jesus, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, now here's what you and I are, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. What are we? We're the Gentiles. You know how awful it was to be a Gentile? How awful it was? There was only one nation on the face of the whole earth that was the people of God. That's it. One nation, the Jews, not the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles. His word didn't go to the Gentiles. Jehovah didn't save the Gentiles, except for a few here and there as a type of what he would do in the day. The Gentiles were far off, far away from God, far away from hope, far away from light, far away from salvation. That's what a Gentile is. That's what you and I are by nature. We're Gentiles, far away as you can get from being the friend of God. And God came to you, Gentile, and to me, Gentile, in Jesus Christ, and made him the covenant of the people. And by that brought you, who sometimes were afar off, nigh unto himself, so near to him, that his own sons and daughters. That's our place. The Gentiles, whom he has redeemed. We're the blind. We're the blind. We don't see anything. We don't see the things that are so obvious that anyone could see them. We don't see the glory of God in Jesus Christ by nature. We don't see the inheritance that is laid up in heaven. By nature, we're unbelieving. That's what blindness is. It's unbelief. By nature, when we hear Jehovah God is God alone, and salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, we don't care. We don't believe those things. That's blindness. It's awful not to see these realities that are so dear and so precious. God came to you, blind man, and to me, blind man and blind woman. And he gave Jesus for a covenant of the people and opened your eyes and mine so that we see the things of the kingdom. We see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in all of His glory and love for His people. He gave Him the covenant of the people. What else were we? We're those in prison and those who sit in darkness in prison. We're in bondage. Terrible, back-breaking, cruel, killing bondage. And we're there by our own fault in Adam and Eve. In Adam, we said we do not want the freedom of being a son of God, a servant of God in His paradise. What we want instead is to serve that serpent We want to leave the clear, beautiful Word of God and listen to that twisted, corrupt lie. We're in prison for it. We're bound for it. We cannot break free. Cannot redeem ourselves. But God came in Jesus Christ and gave Him a covenant of the people. And by that opened your prison and mine. And took us who were sitting in the darkness, blindness and unbelief, of that prison of our sin and guilt, and threw open the bars of it. And so free has He made us in Jesus Christ, that you may pray to Him. You may pray to God. You know how free that is? You know how blessed that is? You may pray to God, and you may go to heaven when your earthly sojourn is finished. God came to us blind prisoners in the darkness through Jesus Christ and made Him, gave Him the covenant of the people. He's God with us. By His grace and strength has redeemed us. There are some applications of these truths that God gave Jesus for a covenant of the people. And that is, in the first place, that all covenant fellowship with God is through Jesus Christ. That's all. All covenant fellowship with God is through Jesus Christ. He's the one who brings us into that covenant fellowship, Jesus Christ. He doesn't bring us into that covenant fellowship by us and by what we wretched Gentiles who are blind and in darkness and prisoners do. That's not how the covenant works. It's never how the covenant worked. The covenant does not work this way, that we have fellowship with God as we will or as we will. We have covenant fellowship with God through the covenant Himself, Jesus Christ, that God has given to the people. Why would we want it any other way? Why would anyone want it any other way? If any part of depends on what I do and how much I do, then I won't have covenant fellowship with Him, because I'm not the covenant of the people. Jesus Christ is. What a blasphemy to displace Jesus Christ as the covenant of the people and put in His place some scrap of a filthy rag of man. God gave Christ as the covenant of the people. In the second place, then, this truth that Christ is the covenant of the people settles the controversy over man's fellowship with God. Man's fellowship with God is not by man's working. It's not by man's willing. It is not by man's doing. We work in the covenant. We certainly do. We will in the covenant by God's grace. We do in God's covenant, as we'll see in a later prayer meeting, Lord willing. But all of that working and willing and doing is the fruit of this one who is the covenant of the people. And that fruit does not displace Him in any way as the covenant of the people. And then in the third place and finally, the purpose of God giving Jesus Christ as the covenant of the people is for God's own glory. And all this section of Isaiah 42 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise from the end of the earth. Verse 12, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His island. Jehovah God has given Jesus Christ as the covenant of the people to bring us Gentiles near, to open our blind eyes, to bring us out of prison and out of darkness, to make us his own sons and daughters, to bring us to himself, that we may respond with praise and honor to him who has been so gracious to condescend to us through Jesus Christ, whom he has given for a covenant of the people. Next time, Lord willing, we take up the first message on Jesus as the head of the covenant.
Our Father, which art in heaven, what a wonder thou art. Thou art so good unto us who are but Gentiles. We who are nothing, dogs, and thou hast looked down upon us in mercy. Thou hast sent thy covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be with us, that he is for us, and that in him we might live and move and have our being. We thank thee for thy gift of thy word, preaching of thy word, whereby thou in thy mercy doth work salvation in us. Thou dost work faith in our hearts, so that we might go forth in his spirit, and that thou mightest work in us to will and to do it with thy good pleasure. We confess our unworthiness and we praise thy wonders. We thank thee, O Lord, for the gathering that we might have tonight, that we might sing thy praises, come together as fellow saints in the body of Christ. We pray that we might encourage one another and be able to lift one another up and bear one another's burdens and to rejoice with one another in the body of Christ. We think of thy people wherever they may be. For thy church as she is gathered throughout this world, we pray that thou wilt gather thy church as thou dost promise. We pray that thou wilt be with us in our homeward way. May we give all praise to thee even as we return to our homes, as we go about our work in the rest of this week. Our Father, we pray, cause that we might be able by thy Spirit to examine ourselves and to see that we are in Christ Jesus, and that we hate sin because of him. He hath worked that in us. Now we pray that thou prepare us to go up to thy house, that we might be able to also partake of the Lord's Supper, and that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth in that way as well. Forgive our sins, keep us now from sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.